singing a message called It's Time to Rise. Everyone say, it's time to rise. So come on, stand up, rise. Come on. I'm watching you boys over there. Come on, rise. Everyone, come on, stand up, rise. Okay. What about Kylie Watson? Is she going to rise? Up, brother, that's it. Everyone's going to rise up. Okay, you can sit down now. Now I'm finished. That's all I needed to is that everyone in this place will get a vision to rise up. You know, the devil does to be. The devil wants you to be average, to be lukewarm, to be half-hearted. Have a spirit of excellence to not. But God says it's time to rise. It's time to rise up in these last days more than ever. Battle like never before. The Lord is raising up a mighty army. I love this quote from John Acuff. You'll see it on your screen there. God found Gideon. He has a curious habit of showing up in the midst of trouble, not in the future. Next time you feel unqualified to be used by God, remember this. Recruit from the pit. It's recruiting you for something great. I just believe it is such an important time. Point to rise up and be point sermon. Number one, pray for workers. Everyone say, pray for workers. 38. Let's all read this together on the screen. Ready? Go. Then Jesus went about. Hang on. Did you understand what I just said? Let's declare this and let's believe this. Then Jesus, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and with compassion for them. Then because they were weary and scattered. Harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. His heart, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest. Anybody here want to be a worker in the harvest field? I want to warn you, it's hard work. It ain't hands on deck. That means everyone get your sickle, get your bus, get your truck, and work hard. Some people just party all the time. We just cruise. We just love each other. We're a trained, any of you who work in the harvest field. Sure, there's times of line up for a battle. You've got a target on your back. High places. We're in the middle of a battle. Prayers and Jesus is asking for. Now, I've been praying faithfully. Lord, raise up and send out workers for the harvest field. And you are an answer to my prayers. Thank you for coming. And we're going to sign you up to do. If you want, you can be like Jonah. You can bolt. You can take off, live in the world. Like, you know, you can be an own thing. You can go if you want. But you sign up to New Hope, you sign up to work. It's called to put our hand to the plow and be workers in the heart, to rise up and take our position in the body of Christ. Revival, walk in your move of God. There's so much potential in this room. Spiritual gifts. Some of you are church planners. Some of you are songwriters, apostles, group leaders. Some of you are Connect Group leaders and you don't know it yet, and I'm calling you out today. Regularly nudges me and says, "You make sure you preach about children's church. Make sure you get people. If you haven't done children's church yet, come on. We're talking everyone without kids, weren't we, Kylie? Everyone with kids. Some of you are youth leaders. Some of you are politicians. We need Jesus. Some of you are inventors, movie producers. We need good Christian movies, don't we? Oh, my goodness, we do. We need some. We all have the harvest field. The church is your harvest. Oh, I'd correct that. We are all called to serve inside the church. Some are called. We've all got a different call. You've got to find your harvest to that prayer. Amen. We've got to pray for workers and we've got to be the workers. Start well. It's been my consistent prayer for the people. Yep. Let's put a hand in it. Let's do this. Let's or take the city. Oh, they're on fire. They're on fire. Job that distracts them or a relationship comes up and that distracts them 2 weeks or once a month, something slowly start to backslide and fall away from the call of God in their life. I've seen it to field. Be persistent. Be committed. It's gone very quiet in this. Make sure that we faithful. When God's called us, let's be faithful. There's a strong group in this church that have been that strong core group, and there's more workers in the harvest field than I've ever seen before. Has just begun what he's doing in this church. When you're harvesting, it's all hands on deck. We all need to bring our best. Your whole heart. Bring him your best. A.W. Tozer said this, refuse to be average. Let your heart be average. When I was doing Bible college many, many moons ago, when I used by Frankie Schaefer, his father was Francis Schaefer, well-known, addicted to. Frankie Schaefer wrote to do, you know, B-grade movies, B-grade songs, B-grade. paintings, B grade this, B grade creative. Christians should have, if we have in the arts, amen? We need a revival in the arts. And if you look at just Christian music, you look at Christian movies, you look at paintings, around the world, artwork, dance, all these crying to me that God is on the move, igniting people to not be mediocre and you're called to be, but to be have a spirit of excellence. Give it your best and let stand it aflame, that gift he's given. We rise after we fall. A lot of people, they start out in this and then they actually rising again, you fall. Maybe you're feeling a bit convicted today because I'm having you. My heart is for the Holy Spirit to convict you to rise again. I don't want to be one of those people who exhorts you to rise up to be all that you've called to be. So maybe you have fallen. Maybe you have been hiding your lamp. One of the most powerful things and doing what God's doing on this planet is a person that's determined to rise. Let's be determined. Gets thrown at them. You know, Peter denied Jesus, but Judas was filled with regrets. They had remorse and anguish for their mischievous behavior. Judas chose to quit and came to a tragic end. If you fall, you can rise again. Rise again. A careful Tozer also said this, 100 any more than 11 dead men make a football team. Going through the motions every week. We don't want old traditions, old religion, rituals of men. We want to be passionate about people whose whole heart is in it. We want people to come alive. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go and do that. Because what finds is people calling. Find your gifting. It'll be the most exciting journey you've ever been on. When you're stung the last few weeks is a song called Graves into Gardens from Elevation. Anybody heard that? Beautiful worship song. You're the only one who can sing. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turned that how that song was written, and it was Pastor Stephen Furtick preached that they buried him in a grave and he'd be there forever. But he came alive. How good is that? And one of the worship leaders at the church was really the passage which details after the prophet Elisha died, when they saw a band tours coming, they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. As soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came back to life. Amen. Elisha still had a resurrection miracle left in his bones. God, even with the seemingly dead everything in our lives, if we believe in it, we'll be wasted. Nothing is finished. Nothing is over. I was a bit flat situation around. Had some stuff happening with another ministry I'm connected to. There was a whole bunch of stuff going on behind the scenes. And just to let you know, I'm a human. And although I smile a lot and, you know, dance, it was circumstantial, flat, a bit down. I couldn't do anything about it. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, you know. Anyway, so I was just, can we have a coffee? God's put you on my pastor, great man of God. He just said to me, Matt, all that stuff? Or should I put on a happy face and act like everything's okay? I thought, well, the Lord's brought him along. I should just be honest. I'm like, yeah, to be honest, I've had all this. I'm a bit flat. I'm a bit, you know, he goes, over the last few days, the Lord put your face before me, and it just kept coming. That's awesome. I need it more than ever. Same. And he said, tell me this. And I went through a very similar situation. And the wisdom the Lord gave him, you know, a word of knowledge is when God shows you something specific about someone that needs to be seasoned in their life, you know. I believe God gave this brother a word of wisdom. And he spoke into my life. He said, and something great was just around the corner. Father in the faith would took me under his wing and he said, Matt, God ain't finished with you. Even though the devil's used this for bad, God's going to be in store for you. And he is in his timing. And I just feel to pass that on to you. Can't maybe it might be finances or it might be health or it might be relation. I want to tell you, God, it's time to rise. God, ministry school recently. In the middle of your sermons, one of his teachings recently he brought was that we need to learn to run all the time. But when you get pain, don't stop. Talk about it. Kerry and Josh and I had a workout a few weeks ago, and she made me do these lunges. She could just do another 20 of those, and I'm like, I'm working up. And I said to Carol, I can't do my running this week. I know I told the church. Did you hear Pastor Wayne's sermon? Run with pain. So I'm out there running, and maybe you're in that place where of you're in the middle of that mess. Don't, if the devil's taken the wind out of your sails, don't give him a foothold. Eliminate stinking thinking. Down and down. Have a checkup from the neck up. Be trained behind me, and I'm going to press on and rise up to be who God's called me to be. Fields. Maybe you're in that place of something happening in your life. Get. You know, we had a great elders retreat over the last few days and spent some time praying and worshiping, seeking the Lord together. I had a chat on the phone with him and all that. And he on our eldership, love and blessings. And he also said, please pray for him to get a return ticket to Australia. He's trying to buy one at the moment. He's been together over in the US and hoping to come back soon. So, story about in 1952, a woman named Anne Catalina Island. During a swim, Chadwick traveled in the event of any unexpected was to keep an injury or fatigue. And you know, that's a bold woman. 15 hours into a swim, that a fog began to set and clouding her vision and confidence. Her mother happened to him. She swam for another hour and then decided to call it quits because of the fog. Look at that, there's a cockroach right there. Distract me from my preaching. Go back. The fog, that's right, the fog, yeah. So she swam for another hour, another mile, 800 metres, she would have reached her destination. Men feels the most dream on the brink, even closer to our destination than we feel ourselves to be. Danny Gokey wrote a song that's ever lived. It's like the brightest sunrise, believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it yet. You're closer than you think you are. Only moments from the break of dawn, if we pull his promises are just up ahead, and we'll discover that haze really gives way to a sense of clarity and self-belief. But what's important to remember is the fog never stays seasons long. Like doubt, it'll be Chadwick's failed attempt. She tried the swim once more. Once again, the same fog came. Herself along. Little image she had of she succeed and made it to the end, but she did it two additional times after that. Chadwick also big times. I'm going to swim the English place today where there's a mess going on in your life and there's a fog in your life. Don't give up. I haven't seen it yet. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. The destiny that God's put on your heart. Let's look at this verse in 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. The pure conscience. Paul's did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers day and night. And I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Who can say amen to that? Paul, that's in you, says, I love the fact that Paul laid hands speaking into, and I believe in laying on of hands to stir up the gift that's in you. God gave you the gift. Let the fog distract you and give, or will you make it to the end? It's time to rise. I just want to give you a big guideline to pray. I really want to thank once again Graham and Anne for their encouraged us last week at the Blessings Course. Carol and I read this in this book, and we've been seeing change in our family because of our prayers. And if you know, God hears our prayers. And he's in the harvest field. Here's a way that you can pray over people. There might be a belief to pray every day for your family, for friends. And I know Graham and his wife at the moment, I reckon. Last week, Graham explained that the blessing. Just pray that blessing over me again. You know, I just wanted a double blessing, you know. Anybody here want a double blessing? Well, 5 days a week for 5 minutes. I.e. 5 minutes for your whole list, not 5 minutes for each person. For 5 weeks, emotionally, I pray one letter of the acrostic L-E-S-S. You see that? Isn't that clever? I like that, yeah. So, B, pray over their labor, their work, their reward, their security, their provision. Pray over their emotion for them to be filled with love for their marriage, their dating, their family, their friends, whatever, salvation, if they are. Pray that they'll get revelation and faith and grace and they'll grow in their ways of the Lord. You know, this first verse that I've shared today, someone out to be a worker, it means pray for them. Regularly. One of my friends to the judge and said, grant me justice. And the judge says, because of her, the judge granted her justice. And Jesus said, in the same way, pray and never give up. Everyone say, never give up. Workers in the harvest field, and never, this acrostic, and bless people. Whether it be the leaders of this church and I, pray, please pray for us. was every week. There was another 9 on Friday, I heard. Praise God for those new believers. Pray for the Bible studies. We'd love to see one in every shelter, but we're just praying for workers in the Harvest family, your workmates. Pray and never give up. Amen? Okay, point number one. Point number two. Come on, give me a yes, sir. Thank you. About 3 here every week. Cecily is here saying amen, praying. She comes to Matt, I've got a word from the Lord. I'm like, oh, goody, goody. 2 a.m. last week, the Lord woke her up, Gideon generation. God is raising up an army in these last days, and he's preparing us to take up the sword of the word of the Lord and to have victory, just like happened in the story of Gideon. In the Bible story, but Cecily, I've actually had Gideon waiting for confirmation, so I believe that was the confolders or a divine. And then also during the week about Gideon, funnily enough. I was like, thank you, Lord. This is, anybody else heard about Gideon this? Look at that. There you go. The Lord is speaking to us about Gideon's army right now, about being a judge that will be raised up in these last days. So save the people of Israel by leading them against the Midianites. Bad place. They'd done what the seem of a side of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian. The Midianites were capturing any crops produced by the... But as I was praying through this morning and reading through it, my first verse I shared today was about a harvest. And I didn't see this as I was going through this. The Midianites were capturing the harvest and the crops and still realized the error of their ways. And they humbled themselves, who was sent to deliver them as they had been rescued. The Bible says, don't treat prophecies with contempt, but test everything and hold on to the good. Hold on to the good. It speaks, noticing that in this time, Israel had a theme of apostasy. They'd done evil in the eyes of God, and they were worshipping false gods. If you heard it, but they were doing evil things. Preached here on Wednesday night. Oh, my goodness, that boy is on fire. He hasn't preached for 6 months, and he's had one of the worst 6 months of his life this last 6 months because he's a traveling evangelist. And he taught himself how to fix computers. But he said he's never convicted him than ever. Itching many times a watered-down version of the gospel. The gospel which tickled people's ears and made people feel good, but didn't warn. And he said, you don't hear this in many churches. I said, you do hear it at New Hope. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. World today. The Bible warns there will be a great falling away in the last day. False gospel, it's fake. They're preaching down a watered down version. They're saying, come to Jesus and everything will be okay. Hell doesn't exist. Oh, you don't really have to repent. There's grace for everything. You can just keep living however your life. Oh, you can, and just pray, but you've got to be okay. You've got to repent and turn or you'll burn. Come on. The world preaching a bit of hellfire and brimstone today. Is that a parallel here that Israel was in a place of apostasy and the world watered down preaching is happening that tickles people's ears but isn't based on the word of God? That's one of my latest idea. But what God has spoken to me about, I want to bring fresh bread, amen, from the word of God. All right, I'm going to get carried away here. Let's go. Enter Gideon. While harvesting wheat, courage. An angel spoke today, God is calling you. This Gideon generation, mighty men and women of we are called to be. The Christian church in these last days is the most courageous, bold church than ever before. America, he was in Kent, Sean Foyt, and he was leading worship. He said they were meant to be in a stadium, but the government wouldn't let him do it in America. He's praying against the evil in America. He's praying for God to raise and has decided to give up all this other stuff and just be full on for Jesus. And I can see that God is raising up a Gideon generation last days more than ever before. I believe we need to capture the heart of Gideon. And this is what God wants to do in our church. I told him, in age, Gideon, that God is sending him to save Israel from the hand of Midian. Although at first he doubts his ability to do so. So you'll read there in verse 7. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord, I brought you up out of Egypt. He sent them a prophet out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. And I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. Do not worship gods of the Amorites, in whose land you live. But you have not been under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you. That means we have a warrior. I'm here to tell you the Lord is with us. And we are mighty men now, but by the Spirit of God, says the Lord. Amen? We are a Gideon generation. Gideon's response, "Pardon me, Lord? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring?'" The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength." "Pardon me, my Lord?" Gideon replied, "Least in my family. When I save Israel," the Lord answered, "I'll be with you, and you will bring down all the Midian." I loved Verena's word. And do what God's called us to do. It's like half the sermon was preached in the prophetic words today before I got up here. I love it. The first task Gideon was commanded was to fulfill was to destroy the altar of Baal. And so during the night, Gideon took 10 of his men down and they tore down the altar of Baal, asking for, making their townspeople very angry. Joash, the father of Gideon, then tells them, "If Baal really is a god, he will kill Gideon himself, saving proof using a fleece." From the Lord, encouraged by the acts of God, Gideon and his men then travel his divine validity. And he tells Gideon to lessen his army from 1,000. Gideon overhears from a dream of one of the Midianites that he is destined to conquer out of fleece. I remember when I first took over New Hope, I was working as a sales manager. And then we joined New Hope and money, and I was asked to be the pastor. The church was $65,000 in debt. And my wife was not excited about the idea of taking on a church in that much debt that couldn't afford to pay their pastor. This church, when it threw out a fleet through, "Please, for my wife's peace of mind." I was fine. I'll just, yeah, we'll say whatever I want. Anyway, for both of it. So we threw out a fleece. And I said, "All right, Lord, I'd love loans." Said to me, "I feel God's told me to pay you a full-time wage. We for the church half. All right, Lord, that's a fleece. That's okay. Well, I guess we better take on the job, you know." A little bit like what Gideon did here. We flew out to God. After 8 months, the church was completely out of debt at the same time. And I was able just to be a full-time pastor and the Lord's church, you know. But that was a fleece that I threw out. And maybe you, it's a biblical thing to do. We're actually just reading the other day how in the book of Acts, we're reading through them. Wasn't one of the apostles anymore. They picked two guys. They said it could be one of them. And then they cast. It's like they trusted that the Lord would guide the dice and God would pick the right. But you just got to do what God tells you to do when the fleece is. Gideon was very, says, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many. I cannot deliver to me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with, well, 10,000 remained.'" I bet you Gideon was shaking in his boot. "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'There are still too many men. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one, separate those who lap water using their tongues, as a dog laps from the dogs, all the rest got down on their knees to drink.' And the Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300, all the others go home.'" So the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. And I remember our tour guide showing us the place where this probably happened, somewhere near the creek. And he got ready. If anyone came to it, we could drink. But the ones who drank like that, they were ready. And he said, "They're the right ones. Comrades to serve that are ready." Making it seem the Midianites were greatly outnumbered. Then they blew their trumpet. The Midianites heard the trumpet cried, and they saw the camp. They cried out and fled. I thought, a triumphant victory, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And you know, I believe here in this church, we've seen, I'm looking for the faithful ones. You know, in Chronicles it says, the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro across the earth, looking for those. And he's looking to him, us, to be a Gideon generation. And no matter what the odd problem against us, no matter how bad COVID, in any situation in life, Midianites, no matter how scary they look, no matter how many there are, no matter how big Goliath. I love it in the book of Acts how it says, Jesus called the disciples and they were ordinary, called to do unschooled men. We've been given authority to go into the highways and the byways, be workers in the harvest field and turn the world upside down for Jesus. Amen. You know, a lot of the homeless youth in Coffs Harbour. Harbour has the second highest youth unemployment and homelessness in New South Wales, behind Byron Bay. Homeless, you might as well be do it in paradise. Drugs and all sorts of things there. And I became a youth pastor at this church, Christian City Church, now C3 Church. And we had a reputation that we're getting here, emptying the mental health ward of the streets. And I remember one morning, there was a couple of guys that I'd taken under my wing. Their names were Ben and Frogger. I don't know why he was called Frogger. He looked a bit like a frog, maybe. '90s when Ben and Frogger, there were a couple of black jackets and Doc Martens, and you had black hair, and you know, you're like a goth, you know what? You know. These were 28 goth guys, you know, dark looking me, and also, you know, they were dark dudes, you know. And I just felt the Lord lead me to them, and I just started drug addiction. They started being my right hand men in the youth group, the youth ministry. We had about 100 kids leading this, and we were at Youth Week at Coffs Harbour Mall, and I'd been asked to be a guest speaker, and they said you can't preach the gospel because it's the Coffs Harbour City Council sponsored it for me. So a message, but don't. But I gave a nice motivational talk about, you know, you've got to have a plan and a dream, and you've got to message, you know, everything. And then afterwards, I had there, and they said, "Good on you, Matt. That was great." He said, "We've got church." Ben and Frogger said, "There's a breakfast zoo. Is we need to get all these youth to come to church. Them all Maccas for breakfast. A bit like." Joshua to them at church, eyes, they had a different spirit to everyone else, and they were possibility thinkers. They believe, I said, that's a great idea, Ben and Frogger, let's do it. So at the end of the tour, you know, breakfast for why everyone. Anyone who wants to come to our church this morning, be there at 9:30. It's just down the road, you know. And we went and got Maccas for them, we gave them breakfast. They came in, preached the gospel that morning. Now, I was happy just to go along and do my motivational talk and be the nice youth worker and leave it there. But Ben and Frogger, they had this idea. I could have gone, oh, Ben and Frogger, look, guys, come on, you know. I'm not going to shout Maccas, I'm a poor youth. And out of that group, we saw a whole bunch of them come to, whether they're off the street, whether they're addicts, whatever, you know. It's a bit like The Greatest Showman, you know, that movie, come together to put on a great show. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Doesn't matter what our background is. A bit like Gideon. God spoke to him and said, just go and do it. And they saw the victory. Okay, so my first, number two, live like you're in the army of the Lord. Just in generation that will see victory. And number three, said, time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You cannot store it. When it's lost, it's unrecoverable. When you've been singing that song this week from Chris Tomlin, fame, Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be even church ready for you. Just come. I believe, church, we need to be wise with our time. Social media all the time, looking at rubbish. Don't waste. You know, you can post good stuff on there and get the. Don't be distracted, heading in the wrong direction that God's called you to. You know, I'm coming soon. And it's attack on marriage in these last days. The definition of marriage has changed in our nation. And in many nations, there's been so many marriages under attack. The devil does not want how we are the bride getting ready for our bridegroom to return. That's the pure picture of what marriage is. The great wedding. The Bible begins with a marriage. I just watched a documentary with Carol this week called Before the Wrath by Kevin Sorbo, featuring Amir Safati and Jack Hibbs, seeing wedding. And it just spoke to my heart so much. And I just, covenant works here. You'll see up on the marriage covenant in the Jewish world, the father pays for the bride and establishes the marriage covenant. The bridal chamber is prepared. The son returns to his father. The next bit there, and I love this bit here, the bride is fetched. At a time determined by the father, although the bride was expecting a groom to come for her, she did not know the time of his coming. As a result, the groom's arrival, a shout. What happens is the bride is getting ready, the groom is getting ready, and then the father, he wakes up one day and says, today is the day for the wedding. And then what happens is, saying, my father goes, it's time, it's time. But you see, no one knows the day or the only the father. The bride is cleansed. The bride undergoes a ritual cleansing prior to the wedding world today. And I believe cleansing from apostasy. A cleansing from worshipping, being a ritualistic church that follows human, just like Gideon, who will say, I will go. It might only be a few hundred, but we will the wedding ceremony. We can read about in Revelation 9, to consummate. Then there's the consummation, and then there's the marriage feast. The celebratory marriage feast to which can place. The marriage established at the first coming of Christ 2,000 years ago. Whenever a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, since the ascension of Jesus following his resurrection, how good is that? In John 14, 1 to 3, we'll see this on the screen, it says, "Let me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And that's the word, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Every nation shout of your fame, Jesus is coming soon. Church ready for you. Every and be an answer to that prayer and be a worker. Getting ready for the last great battle. And number three, time is short and working in the harvest field. I want to occupy until he comes. One day I want to hear those words, faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to be found faithful with what your gifting. What's your calling? Are you living a life worthy of? Let's truly be the bride, the army bride, getting ready for the return of Jesus. Hey, we stand before us and we ask, Lord Jesus, every one of us, Lord, purify us. And at the end of the service today, I'm going to open release into their calling, their destiny. And we're going to prophesy over you. We're going to speak life into you today. I believe it's time to wake up. Open the altar. A couple of things I want to do. Firstly, if you don't pray a prayer where you can receive him as Lord and Savior, but you've got to be serious. There is judgment day coming. There haven't the wrath of God coming for the hell. You will not have your sins forgiven if you don't ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You need to repent and turn from your that you're saved. You don't know that you're yourself to Jesus. I believe if you pray today and ask Jesus, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new real high. And so is there anyone today that says, yep, today's the day for me. I want to, we can pray with you today and surrender my life. Awesome. Awesome. I see that. Turn from that. Anybody else that wants to, let's all pray this together. Dear God in heaven, my sins, make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Everybody said amen. Amen. Well, God bless you if you prayed that prayer today. Let's give him a hand of encouragement. And I'd like to invite Kyla to come and share.
I just had something burning on my heart to share. And I think some of you have heard Carol talk about whales swimming in the water. And you know how whales breach up and they throw their, I don't know what you call this, dream cages or fins about 8 or 9 years ago now. And at a similar time, I was, so it would be about at least 8 years ago. And this dream, my husband and I, and it was throwing itself up and it was just jumping for joy. You know how that you see footage of them doing that for New Hope, this church? A dream for this church, and there's been times when we've really held on to that dream, you know, and when it hasn't felt at all like that. just being honest, tell me to stand, but put my hands on them and pray for them. And he reminded me of that dream, and I opened my dream, looked out the window, and there was a red light. The Lord was saying that this is now, I've asked, this is the time of that dream. That mean, you know, why is our church a whale? You know, it's a symbol of a church abandoned to him. And saying, Lord, we love you. We're here only for you. Does that image an eldership and is, you know, that really there's, and you know, we do all these things, do King's Table, we serve, but at the end of the day, he comes and God asks us to lay it all aside, any of these things. But what I'm saying is there's one thing, and serving is good, but if it takes us away from the Salvation Army family, so I think I have the right to say this, you know, the Salvation Army, come and organize a revival, the doing of something, but it's lost its power, that the only hope we have is Jesus, and the only way we can go out is Jesus, and the only way these guys can get up on the stage is because of the, and it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. Does that make sense? And last, I just wanted to share it today, even though it may not seem to sink, but, you know, we sung a song that's I choose. And I really felt the Lord say to me, there are people in this bit maybe know what's actually almost a condemnation in their heart, that they don't know how to choose to be holy, right? That it's actually not something that you can do of your turn to the Lord. That's what it is. It's not just turning in my own strength. It's turn to Jesus. Did you know that you've got a new heart? Because the world would tell you to follow your heart, which is to see. Will give you the desires of his heart. Do you understand? There's a difference here. But our hearts are just. Do you understand? You give your heart. He gives you his spirit. And then the Bible says, not the Lord living in me. If I have his heart withhold me, I can make. Got nothing to do with me. Because I am an empty vessel. But if the Lord has holy, you don't need to know how to be holy. You've been given the Holy. He will make you holy. He will empower you to make a counsel that I can make it. Does that my will? To why? To the Spirit and not according. You have to be willing to die. And I've heard Glenn talk about it. He had to hate it. He had to not want this anymore. Oh, stubbornness in pride. And pride in our hearts, where we just say, I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. I said, you know, I can tell you. I'm just being honest. And the Lord says, you can't go your own way. Because our own way and expect that. We must go God's way if we want to see his kingdom come. That, you know, the Lord is calling us to be holy, but it's something that you can do, something his power. By the light. You know, there's something about coming forward to the altar, battling with today that you know is not of the Lord. I really encourage you to come. Jesus pray for you, that where he won the victory, he can give us a victory. For anything like that. And if you want, the Lord wants to be able to be holy spirit today, to be free of some of those things that have held you captive. Because Jesus came and he said, this is to the captives, to give a spirit, have a space to those who have captives free. And that's why we're here today.
So we can have the prayer team come as well. Come on, give a hand of a carrot. The prayer team could come and...
Holy Spirit, Lord. I saw a vision earlier this week from the north to the south. And it just kept on flowing. And I felt, Lord, do you want me to share this now? And on Friday, just this Friday, I saw just freely flowing from the north to the south. And I saw him sitting on the side, pool of water, cupping his hands, Lord. That's my living water for you. Would you Spirit giving me all this? Me. I've never written a poetry before, but I just obedient and just doing God's will. So I wrote it down. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come and drum in me? Here, I'm here. I won't leave you nor forsake you. Why won't you come? Come away and drink from me. How are you going this year? But the one thing that I've called you to do, come away and drink from me. Obedient. Are you submitting?